Parsha Metzora. The beginning of Parsha Metzora starts off, Eidav Rasham Moshe Lemor, Zos Tia Torah Sametzora. This is the Torah of a Metzora, Biyom Tara, so on the day that it becomes Torah, Vehuva Alakoin. This process of Taras HaMetzora is one of the craziest processes you've ever seen. It literally, there's nothing like this type of a process. It goes all over the place. There's crazy stuff happening. There's birds being sent out into fields. There's birds being dipped into blood. Same bird, by the way. There's stuff being hyssop. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's just a crazy, crazy start to any parsha, just to be Matar. Same bird that's dipped into the blood of another blood that was shechted with Mayim Chaim, which with pure water that was brought in. It's a crazy beginning of the parsha. There's a famous maisa brought down by the Medrash regarding a rochel. A rochel is a salesman of spices. This guy was selling spices. He came to a city near Tzipori, and he announced to them, Mi boi samach dechaya. Who wants an elixir of life? Who wants to have samach dechaya, something to be able to live for a very, very long time? That's what he asked. He asked it twice. Man boi samach dechaya. Man boi samach dechaya. He asked it twice. Soon a crowd gathered around him. A huge crowd gathered around him because everybody wants life, right? And Rabbi Yanai, who was learning nearby, he was learning pshat in a pasuk nearby, overheard him and said, come, sell it to me. I want to buy it, said Rabbi Yanai. Says to the Rochel, I want to buy this poison of life, this elixir for life. The Rochel looked at him and said, you and your friends, you don't need this. You don't need it whatsoever. But Rabbi Yanai kept pushing and pushing and pushing and said, no, I want it. Please give it to me. Please give it to me. And the Rochel finally pulled out a sefer tehillim, gave it over to him. He showed him a pasuk, Mia Isha Chatez Chaim, who is the man that wants the desires life? Nitzor Lashon Chamero Sasech Midabra Mirma, keep your tongue from speaking out falsehoods. Stop yourself from saying bad things, and then you're going to be able to get life. You want Chaim? You want to be able to have life? Stop yourself from speaking Lashon Hara. You're guaranteed to have life. That's what he said. Said Rabbi Yanai, all my life, I've read this pasuk, and I didn't realize what it means until finally this rochel showed it to me, until this merchant came and showed it to me. Says the Medrash, that's Torah's Mitzora. Torah's Motzi Shemra. Somebody who speaks Lashon Hara, somebody who speaks Motzi Shemra, this is what happens to the guy. That's the idea. That's the story of the rochel. That's what happens with him and Rabbi Yanai. It's such an unbelievable Medrash. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has five questions over here. Number one, why do we need to know where he was that he was by Tzipori? That's number one. Number two, why do we care what Rabbi Yanai was doing? Rabbi Yanai was learning pshat and a pasuk. Why in the world do we need to know what he was doing? Just say that Rabbi Yanai overheard him. Number three, Rabbi Yanai didn't know this pasuk by heart. I mean, we know this pasuk by heart. Aside from Shalshalas, you read it every Shabbos. Everybody knows this pasuk, Miyesha Chavitz Chaim. Who doesn't know this? That all of a sudden we're saying that here's the pasuk that teaches you how to stop yourself. Who can and what can give you life? Number four, what was the big chiddush that this rochel told him, that Rabbi Yanai is like, I never heard such a thing before in my life. I've never imagined such a thing. What was such a big chiddush about what he said that he didn't know already? And number five, what was the rochel selling? This guy was a rochel, right? He was a merchant. What was he selling that he was announcing about the Samad Achaya, and then he gave him a tehillim? What was he selling? Was he really a rochel? And if he wasn't a rochel, he was just a baal musar, then why do we call him a rochel? Just say there was a baal musar pretending to be a merchant that was going around trying to sell people the idea of how to stop yourself from speaking Lashon Hara. So what's going on here? What is this whole story all about? Yaakov Kamenetsky has a whole speech on this. He says, we're not going to go through most of it, but he says, everyone knows how bad Lashon Hara is. It's worse than Gilya Raiz, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah. It's a Gemara in Erchin, right? In the Hakdamah to the Chofetz Chaim, he goes through that, how bad it is to speak Lashon Hara. We know the Lavin, we know the Assays that you'll be over on if you do such a thing. The Nachash was cursed and lost his legs from Lashon Hara, from speaking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu that way. Yosef caused Golus Mitzrayim by speaking Lashon Hara about the Shvatim. It extended Golus Mitzrayim from Dasan Vavirim, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't think that it was over until he heard from a Kadosh Baruch Hu that the Dal Turin, those who had spoken Lashon Hara, that they were all dead. Then Moshe Rabbeinu knew, oh, now they can be saved. Until that point, there was no Geula. The Merazim caused 39 years of wandering in the desert, and they couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael because of Lashon Hara. And the Chiyah Ledoros, it caused them to cry forever. The destruction of the second base of Mikdash was from Lashon Hara. Had David Melech not accepted Lashon Hara from Tziva about Mephibosheth in Shabbos Nun Bavlan Beis, says the Gemara, there never would have been two kingdoms. David Melech's children would have taken over and Yerubim never would have become king. There never would have been a Yerubim. He never would have been around. Had he not accepted Lashon Hara, none of that would have happened. we all know, had Gedalia not been choshesh, if he didn't learn the halakha, if he only would have learned the halakhas of Lashon Hara and knew what to do about Yishmael, who was coming to go kill him, had he only known what to do, Tzon Gedalia never would have happened. Possibly Purim never would have happened with Haman and all of the Amalekim, because the Jews would have retained their rights to Eretz Yisrael even when Nebuchadnezzar was king in Babel. Some of the Jews would have eventually returned, and who knows what would have happened. Pesach is the time to start thinking about the Gula. Because we're done. This is garbage already. It's absolutely garbage that we're still in Golos after 2,000 years. Pesach is the time to start thinking about the Gula and start thinking about the Sivas for the Gula. Start thinking about the reasons as to what we need to do in order to bring about Mashiach, to bring him here now. And the issue of Lashon Hara is a big one. It destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and we haven't stopped yet. We haven't stopped ourselves from saying Lashon Hara. And we no longer have Tzaras to immediately know when we've done something wrong. It's a big one. This is a major one. Says Rav Yaakov, this man really was a rochel. He was a seller of different bisamim and things like that, but he also sold svarim. He sold books, and part of the svarim that he had was the Sefer Tehillim. And he wanted to sell people a Sefer Tehillim, and he tried telling people, you want to buy a Sefer Tehillim? You know what's in the Sefer Tehillim? Do you want to go ahead and have life? Do you want to have a real life, a life that's worth living, something that can change your life for what it is and what it can be? Here's the Sama Dechaya. The Sama Dechaya is to have a Sefer Tehillim. Rabbi Yana was learning Torah. He was sitting there and learning Torah in a place called Tzipori. Tzipori is known for the birds, meaning they talk a lot in Tzipori. They're big time Bali Lashon Hara in Tzipori. And Rabbi Yana knew that. So Rabbi Yana stayed away from them. And he sat and he learned by himself all day long. But when he saw the crowd and he overheard them saying, this is the way to get life, said Rabbi Yana, what do they have that I don't know? What are they talking about that I don't know about? So he went over to go see what was going on. And he said, what do you have? What are you talking about? To which the Rochel said, you don't need it, and none of your friends need it. Because you guys learn Torah all day long. And if you learn Torah, it's very hard to get involved in issues of Lashon Hara. What's there to talk about? You're talking about people in the Gemara all day long. You're not talking about people around in the street. So it's very hard for somebody like you and your friends to get involved in Lashon Hara. Said the Rochel, this is not for you. For everyone else, use this Sefer. Take the Sefer Tehillim and read it. And if you read it through, you'll see it's not worth speaking Lashon Hara. Read through the Sefer and do Tehillim time after time after time again, and you'll stop yourself from speaking Lashon Hara. You'll stop yourself from getting involved in these things. Rabbi Yana realized from that roll call. He sat there and he said, oh, hey, what a chiddush. What a chiddush. I didn't realize that there's something you can do to help out others. That I don't have to sit alone and learn, and that's it, and that'll keep me from speaking Lashon Hara. I could learn, I could say Sefer Tehillim. I could be in the marketplace, I could be in the shuk, I could be in a business, I could do whatever I want and still not speak Lashon Hara because I have a Sefer Tehillim on me. That's the power of Tehillim. That Tehillim gives you the power of Torah even when you're outside of learning. Even when you're not learning, that's the power of Tehillim. To always have a Tehillim on you wherever you go, that's what this Rochel was selling, and that's what Rabbi Yana didn't realize. How powerful and how precious a Sefer Tehillim is on you all day long. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two, Rebbe Yashiv says, such an unbelievable line. Tzaras also comes from Tzoros Ha'ayin. That the word itself, Tzaras, Tzoros Ha'ayin, are very similar. From stinginess. In the womb, the Uber is taught all the Torah that it needs to know. Everything that it needs to know from a Malach. And when it's ready to come out, everybody knows the Malach slaps, so to speak, the baby. Hits it right around that area, makes it forget all the learning that it had. Why? Isn't that the point of Torah? To know as much Torah as you could possibly get? Wouldn't that be awesome to come into the world and know everything? And all you have to do is make your own chedushim from then on? The thing called Kenu B'Sorasecha that we say at the end of our Shemona Esrei? Wouldn't that be awesome? You're coming out and you're just like, this is it. All I got to do is make a chiddush or two or three or four, and that's that. But you'd have the entire Torah for yourself. You'd go out and work, and you'd just be able to memorize all of Shas and all of Rishonim. And you just sit there and learn the entire time while you're working? How is it that's the pshat? This is the Torah that we want to lose? What's pshat behind that? The answer is that's not the point of Torah, says Rav Yashiv. The point of Torah is to be able to give it over to others, to share it and to tell it over to others. That's the whole point of the world. For you not only to have your Torah and to keep it in for yourself, but to give it to others as well, and to help them to be tzaddikim, as well as you yourself, to work on yourself being a tzaddik. It's to help. Rabbi Yana looked at the rochel, and he saw what the rochel was saying, and he assumed he was selling a real elixir. Because what, you think this rochel was able to tell over Torah? You think this rochel, who's going around from town to town, you think he's able to learn? There's no way he's able to tell over Torah. There's no way he could be referring to the pasuk. I, said Rabbi Yana, I have the ability to tell over Torah, because I'm sitting here and learning all day long. I'm the one who's able to do it, said Rabbi Yana. And here he sees the rochel accomplishing more than he could possibly imagine. The Rokel is going around from town to town saying, who wants life? Who wants life? And crowds were forming. Hundreds and hundreds of people are going around the Rokel saying, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And it says, Mi Ha'isha Chafetz Chaim, Mi Ha'isha Chafetz Chaim, Oev Yaim Leros Tov. Stop speaking Lashon Hara and it will give you life. Hundreds of people are being affected by an Amaretz, by a person who knows nothing. A Rokel is going from town to town. Look at what one person can accomplish, says Rav Eliashiv. The lesson in the Chiddush that the Rokel taught us is that anyone can speak out Dibur Torah and that anyone can be Matzliach, especially us. Every person here has the ability to go over to somebody and tell over a Dvar Torah. I still remember every single time going into 2020 once, the suit store, walking around and seeing Rabbi Levinson, my sixth grade Rebbe in Ari Crown, he's still there, Rabbi Levinson. And he comes up to me. He doesn't even say hello, nothing. I say Shalom Aleichem. In the middle of my Shalom Aleichem, he comes up to me and he says, what's pshat behind Kechom Hayom? Kechom Hayom, that Avraham Avinu was sitting in front of the tent, Kechom Hayom, in the heat of the day. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, I don't know, there's a Balaturim. I started babbling. You know, there's a Balaturim, there's a Rashi. And he said, you know what Pshat is? He said, Avraham Avinu didn't care who came to his tent. It could be a Rosh or a Tzaddik. Just like the sun doesn't care if it puts down its rays on Tzaddikim or Rishayim. The way you have to act is you treat Tzaddikim and Rishayim the same way. That's pshat. And then he walked away from me. That's a tzaddik. It's unbelievable. No hello, no goodbye, nothing like that. Just to be able to, you're walking around in a suit store, and the first thing in your head is, I want to tell you over at Dvar Torah. Anybody can do that. Anybody has the ability. I would suggest also saying hello and goodbye. But when it's your Rebbe, it's a little bit different. But to be able to just say over at Dvar Torah, wherever you are, and anyone can do that. Any person has the ability to do that. And you can still be normal. Try to be a little bit normal. Since we're talking about Lashon Hara, you can't go on without a story about Chafetz Chaim. Well, Eliash brings down a story of Chafetz Chaim. When he turned 80 years old, he invited over all of his children. Now, you should know, by the way, I read that the Chafetz Chaim once had a birthday party. That he once had a birthday party when he was 80 years old. And it didn't say what he had. Well, Eliash said, here's what happened at the 80th birthday party. He was 80 years old. He invited over all his children, all of his students, and his friends. He invited them all over into around his house, whatever it was, gathered them all together. And he told them, today, I turn 80 years old. Do you think I invited you so that I can have a birthday party? Do you think I'm really into a birthday party? I'm not into birthdays. I invited you over because when I made this sefer on Lashon Hara, the Chafetz Chaim on Lashon Hara, and Shmiras HaLashon, I knew that from then on, I had to be extra scrupulous, that I could never, ever speak Lashon Hara. I have to be very, very careful about every word and every letter that I say, because if I speak Lashon Hara and I wrote a sefer on Lashon Hara, people will say I'm a hypocrite. And I have been. Says the Chafetz Chaim, I've been extremely careful. I've not spoken a word of Lashon Hara. But I've always been worried, said the Chafetz Chaim. What would happen if I die at a young age? If I die at the age of 50 or 60 or 65, and I would have died young, if, what would people say? They'd say, I thought you get long life from not speaking Lashon Hara. We know the Chofetz Chaim didn't speak Lashon Hara. So if he didn't speak Lashon Hara, how come he didn't live a long life? It must be that the Rokel was a liar. Must be that the Gemara is wrong. Must be that everything wrote isn't true. So the Chofetz Chaim said, I've always been worried that what would happen if I didn't live a long life. And now look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted me a long life. Because why? Because I don't speak Lashon Hara. You see, for me, the Chofetz Chaim says that even though I'm a weak person, I've lived to the age of 80. I am living proof, he said. I'm living proof that not only is there not a Chilul Hashem, I made a Kiddush Hashem by writing that Lashon Hara lengthens your life, and my life was lengthened because of it. Chofetz Chaim lived to the 90s. We don't know exactly how old he was when he died. But he lived into his 90s. Just to tell you, the Rokel was right. That if you don't speak Lashon Hara, you will live a long life. It's an unbelievable lesson from the Chofetz Chaim. But now we have a third point. It's going to get us to one of the greatest pshatim I've literally ever seen. I read this pshat 2 days ago. It was on Tuesday night. I called up my brother to see whether he's awake. I have to tell this over to somebody. I you couldn't keep this in. So here's Rav Shor. Rav Shor says this, but it leads into a Chassam Sofer. Just unbelievable. Rav Shor says a third pshat. So there are two birds involved in the process of making the Metzorah Tahor. One bird is Shaktit. The blood is placed inside a Kli along with Mayim Chaim. It's Kli Cheres. And there's water inside. The blood and the water mingle with one another. And then you take the Eitz Erez, Ezov, and the Shnis Salos, tie them together, and you dip it inside the blood, and you sprinkle by the Mizbeach. And then you take the live bird, you dip it also in the blood, and then you send it out to the fields. send it out to the fields. So the question is, why do you have two birds? And what's the pshat in sending it out to the fields? What's the idea of sending it out in the middle of nowhere? What's the idea behind that? So Rav Shor says, the remez, the hint behind this entire parsha of Taras HaMetzorah is the idea of doing tshuva for your sins. If you want, if you find the sefer, it's very, very well looking up. Taras Shlomo, the Radamsker. And all the Taras HaMetzorah has an unreal pshat on what the whole Taras HaMetzorah is referring to. It's referring to a guy who's done sins. And he wants to do tshuva, all the different types of sins. This is how you do tshuva. And he goes through everything. How everything refers to a certain thing. And he goes through everything. Not only do you have to fix yourself, says Rav Shor, but you have to fix other people as well. Part of your tshuva process is not only being selfish and saying, I've got to work on myself and I've got to do something, but I've got to help others along the way. And not in a weird bal tshuva way. That's not the way you do it, where you're just like, I'm better than you, you have to be like me. Not that way, but helping others along and saying, like, maybe you could do a little bit more. The Rochel was over on Rechilus. He had spoken Lashon Hara himself. He was a Baal Lashon Hara and he needed to do tshuva. So not only did he fix himself up, he spent his entire life going around from town to town, speaking to everybody and saying to them, do tshuva, work on yourself. And he came up with a unique process. Who wants life? Who wants the elixir for life? Just don't speak Lashon Hara. He made them do tshuva as well in a very unique fashion. And that was the concept of the first bird, which is shachted, that's you. You knock yourself down, you do tshuva for yourself. And then another bird that's sent away. You do tshuva and you help others everywhere around you so that other people can work on themselves as well. So it's not only you, it's them as well. Says Rav Shor, the concept is that when somebody sins, it doesn't just affect you. It affects the entire world. The Yaros Devash, Rabbi Yonatan Eichitz in his Drushos, says that your Dibur becomes like vapor in the air. When I speak, there's like vapor, and you can see it in the winter, when you have the little, the cloud, so to speak, that comes from your mouth. It's always there. It's just not always able to be seen. Every word you speak causes vapor to go up into the world. When you speak Dvarim Asurim, when you speak words that are usur, whether it's Lashon Hara, Nivol Peh, or Rechilus, Motzi Shemra, anything you do, that causes evil vapors to go into the world. The world is then filled with evil words, evil vapors all throughout the entire sky. And the entire sky, the entire world is filled with evil. To the point where it can destroy the entire world. Because the entire airspace is completely tameh. That's the marvel. That's the concept. The people are speaking such dirty things. They caused the world to be filled with tumah all over the place. The entire world was filled with tumah. To the point where they couldn't move anymore. The world had to be destroyed. All the air had to be destroyed. There was nothing left but destruction. Drushos, Chassam Sofer, Chelek Beis, page Shinayin Vav. If you don't get up and dance after this, I question whether you have a Jewish soul. There's a possibility of not having a Jewish soul. It's a very good possibility. He brings up Ahav, Captain Ahab, was fighting with Eliyahu HaNavi. He's sitting there and he's fighting with Eliyahu HaNavi. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin toward the very, very end, Kufyud Gimel and Aleph, and he fights with him and he asks, why is there still rain in the world? Said Ahav, I placed Avodah Zarah on every mountain and on every hill in this land. I put Avodah Zarah everywhere throughout all of Eretz Yisrael. And yet, we still have rain. But I thought, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in Shema, the Chara Af Hashem, that if God gets angry over all the Avodah Zarah that we're doing, Vavadatem Mehera, and it says, V'lo Yiyem Mator, there won't be any rain. There's not going to be any rain. But we have rain. So if God's angry at us, I don't get it. Why isn't the assurance, the Havtacha, the assurance of Moshe Rabbeinu, why isn't that coming true? Eliyahu Navi, obviously, in the way, he's a Kanoi. He gets up there and he says, he swore back, there will not be any rain for the next 3 years without my word. There's not going to be any rain whatsoever, says Eliyahu the Ahav, and I swear it. There won't be any rain because you just said that, because of all your sins. After 3 years, Eliyahu goes into hiding. Crazy things happen. He sees that Kadosh Baruch Hu in a little cold mamadaka. Crazy things happen when Eliyahu Navi goes away. Later, Hashem tells him to go back to Ahaz and go bring the rain. It's time to go bring back the rain. So what does he do? He gathers all the Jews together in Har HaKarmel. Gathers everyone together and grabs the Nevi'ei HaBaal, hundreds of prophets for the Baal, for the Avodah Zarah that they had. And he challenges them to a fight. And he says, bring up a korban, and I'm going to bring up a korban, and let's see what happens. And the Nevi Abal get up there on top of Har Carmel, and they get up and they do everything they can to make the korban be consumed by fire and to be brought up to Shemayim, and nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens. Eliyahu Navi makes fun of them. We learn from there you're allowed to make fun of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. He makes fun of them, and he says, maybe if you scream a little bit louder, maybe if you cut yourselves a little bit more, maybe then it'll work. And then he goes and he douses everything with water, douses the entire Mizbeach, and douses the korban with water, and he goes and he brings it up top of the Mizbeach, and a huge fire consumes the entire thing, and it all brings up to Shemayim, and immediately he says, kill the Nevi'i Abal. All the Nevi'i Abal are killed, and the Israel yell out loud, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, and that's the end. And that's the end. And the rain from that, Hashem Hu Elokim, a cloud forms all the way down at the end of the sky, comes over and it starts raining down on top of Klal Yisrael. That was the first rain in 3 years after that story, after Har HaKarmel. What an unbelievable maaser. What's going on there, says the Chassam Sofer. He says the following. Rain naturally forms from evaporated water. From evaporated water. You have water that evaporates, turns into clouds. The condensated clouds that are in the air eventually become so dense with the rain, with the water inside, that they start raining down the rain that's inside them. That's how it basically forms. Now granted, the majority of rain clouds are formed from the oceans in the world. The majority are formed from the salt water that's evaporated into the sky. But says the Chassam Sofer, it still makes a very, very much sense that every word that you say, every vapor that comes out from a person's breath, even though it's very small amount, still affects all the rain clouds that are in Shemayim. Every rain cloud will be affected by something that somebody says. So it makes sense that if you say something evil, then the rain that forms from the vapor that comes from your mouth will be evil rain. If that rain goes down and rains on top of fruits and makes the fruit grow, what happens to that fruit? The fruit becomes affected and the fruit becomes evil fruit. If a person eats from that fruit, what's going to happen to him? He's going to become more evil. Which means what? He's going to speak out more divrei tumah, which means there's more rain that's evil in the sky, which means more evil fruits on the ground, and it's cyclical. It's not going to end. It's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse, because people are going to become more and more and more tumah, and you won't be able to find anything that's tahor. You won't find any fruits that are unaffected by this tumah. And people are going to get bad, much worse than anything out there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, out of the goodness of his heart, stops the rain. He causes an ability for there to be no rain at all. No rain. He stops there from being any rain. So that what? So that evil rain that's sitting up there in the sky doesn't fall down on earth, doesn't make the fruit tamei, and everything's all good. Stopping the rain, the otzaris hashamayim v'lo yamator, is a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that we could be, what do? We daven, we say Tehillim, and we scream to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, please help us, we need it so badly. That vapor is tahor, it goes up to Shemayim, it causes tahara in the skies, and causes the rain to fall, which is gishmei bracha, gishamim, which is good rain, rather than bad rain. Who knows? If the amount of tumah that comes from people's mouths in Eretz Yisrael today, although obviously less than in the rest of the world, but Eretz Yisrael is a direct connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the reason why we've had so many problems with rain is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to wait. He doesn't want to give rain in the beginning of the year because he knows that that rain that comes by Sukkot is going to be evil rain. He waits and he makes it look like there's going to be another famine, to which people have to daven. And people scream and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help us, making it Torah rain. And the Torah rain comes down, and that's the Gishmei Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us every year to daven to Him, and to pray to Him, and to ask Him again and again and again to bring down that rain. That's the pshat. That's the idea behind what rain is, and how our words can affect literally the entire world. Any tummy word you say can not only affect you, it can cause a person in the middle of nowhere in Mongolia to be affected by something that I said. Just from one word that I said wrong. One four-letter word can cause a guy in Mongolia to become more tummy. That's what it could be. We have no idea what the effect is. Absolutely no idea. Who knows if it's brought down and the water hits a fish, and the fish that a person eats becomes tummy because of it. One of the most taller creatures doesn't even eat shechita, and the fish become affected to the point where you eat fish and you become more tummy. It's a crazy concept. An unbelievable concept. By Achaz, they were just that tummy. And if they didn't improve on themselves, they would have had to have been destroyed. Just like the Mabul. And Eliyahu HaNavi knew they weren't going to work. They would all be destroyed. So Eliyahu HaNavi got up there and said, the rain will not fall down, ki im lefi divari, only by my word. And Eliyahu HaNavi spent the rest of the 3 years running away from people so that he wouldn't speak, because the rain would be formed from him. And his Kedusha is not great enough. It's not strong enough to knock out all the tuma that was in the air, that was in the system, all the tuma that was up there. Eliyahu wasn't enough. He waited until HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. And then he went there. He went to Har HaKarmel when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's time to bring about the rain again. He went to Har HaKarmel, caused a massive Kiddush Hashem, caused everyone to scream out loud, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, causing massive amounts of Tahara to come from their mouths, to be vapor in the air, causing the clouds to become Tahor, thus making the rain Gishmei Bracha, rain of Bracha. That's the concept. This is the idea of what he was trying to do and what was happening. This is the idea of what happens to us when we speak. Every time we speak. Did that make you at all think to yourself, maybe I should be careful about some of the words that I say? Granted, we're not going to be perfect with everything we do. But some of the words that I say, maybe I could hold it back a little bit. Maybe I could stop myself from saying those extra words that I don't need to say. That's why we send out the bird. You take that second bird to be metire the world, because we almost destroyed it. We almost took the entire world down. We take the bird, we send it out, and we say, go and be metire everything out there. Take the blood that's still dripping from that bird and have it drip down on different parts. The tahara of that bird should be dripping down on top of all parts of the world to bring more tahara to the world. And the tzipor is a reference to a person's thoughts, meaning what a person says and what a person does. That's the idea. That a person has to be so careful with everything he says. Not only what he does, but everything he says. That's the Taurus Mitzvah, and that's the concept that we're trying to bring up over here. A very last thing, and what we're going to end off with is, there's another concept in our parsha called Saras HaBatim. Saras of houses. Lots of big kashas over here. But one of the major kashas is, that's asked on this is, Saras HaBatim, according to Gemara Sanhedrin, Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, says, Lo Haya V'lo Yiyah. It never happened, it never will be. Never happened that there was Saras HaBatim, there never will be Saras HaBatim. Which is nuts. Then why write it? Says the Gemara, Drush V'kabel Schar. Darshan it out, and you'll get scar for darshaning it out. Here's something crazy. I tried looking up that Gemara on whether or not Saras HaBatim did happen or didn't happen. Everybody talks about Ben Sora Ramoda, whether it happened or it didn't happen. Everybody has a vort on Ben Sora Ramoda. Everybody talks about it. Yeah, there's this and that and the other. Everyone speaks about Ben Sora Ramoda. You're in Idachas? You'll find a couple of pshatim here and there. You're in Idachas, whatever it was. It never happened, never will happen. A couple of pshatim. On this, on Saras HaBatim, nothing. Literally nothing. I looked up, it must be at least 15 Sfarim on that Gemara itself to look up anything. You can find, there's not one parish that I could find on that Gemara. I'm sure there's some random Sfarim in the middle of nowhere that'll speak about it. I couldn't find anything. Looked up the Alka Meforshim, the whole Meforshim, the Kovitz Meforshim on Sanhedrin. Looked in the back of Sanhedrin. Looked up all my Agadita Sfarim. Everything. I got nothing. On why Saras HaBatim Lohaya Bloyia. It's based on a pasuk that I got nothing. Looked up the Torah Shlema of Menachem Kasher. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And here's the problem. There's a Rashi in this week's Parsha. Why do we have Saras HaBatim? Because when Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, right, the Amorim hid their treasures in the walls. Then they filled up those walls with treasures. And in order for the Jews to find those treasures, what's going to have to happen? They'll have Saras in their houses, they'll knock down the walls, and they'll find the treasures that are hidden in the houses. Rav Moshe explains why you have to knock down the house in order to get to the treasures, why God had to make it this way. But you have to find it in the walls. I don't understand. Then it happened. So what do you mean, Lo Hayav Lo Yiyah? It happened. It was for the Amori treasures that were stuck in the walls. So what do you mean it never happened? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky was asked this question. He was asked this. Wait, it did happen. It happened with the Amori's treasures. You know what he answered? You're right. It means it only happened then, but it didn't happen after that. But the Gemara says, Lo Hayav Lo Yiyah. It never was and it never will be. What do you mean? It never was except for that one time. That doesn't count. That doesn't work. So what does that mean, Lo Hayav Lo Yiyah? What's the Gemara talking about? It could be that there's two types of Saras HaBatim. The two types of Saras HaBatim are, there's Saras HaBatim which is done for Tahara purposes. Saras HaBatim which is not for bad, but for good, for you to find the Amori's treasures. That Saras HaBatim is really any type of Saras. It's just a bad ink stain on the wall. and you look at it, it might not even take all the different zinim that are written in this parsha. It might just be a stamp saraf that's in the bottom. You knock that wall down, and then you'll find the Amori's treasures, because it's not really the tummy dikat saras. But then there's another type of saras which is really, really bad. And this saras is horrid. An absolute horrid type of saras. And that horrid saras never was and never will be. That type of saras about them never existed. The problem? There's another medrash. Another medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish Klal Yisrael at saras, first he afflicts the houses, then he afflicts their clothing, then he afflicts the people themselves. But we know the people at that saras. We know the people were sent out. I mean, from the Torah itself, we see that there were people that were sent out. If that's so, then what about their houses? That medrash is a very strange medrash. And if you say, well, Hayabaliyah, then it never was, never will be, how do those two stem together? So granted, it could be a Machlokas Midrashim. That's not the way Klal Yisrael works. You fall back on Machlokas Midrashim if you're just lazy and you don't want to work on yourself. That's how you fall back on Machlokas Midrashim. Try to work these three out. So those three Midrashim take a lot of work. We're not going to answer it right now. I have an idea, but I never worked it out with anybody. I got to work it out and we'll see what we can do with it. But that's a stam question I want to end off the answer very quickly. We spoke about the Rochel story. Three lessons from the Rochel. Number one, learn Torah if you can. If not, read Sefer Tehillim. That will help you for Lashon Hara. That's the first lesson. Anyone can teach Torah. Not only tell me to come in, anybody can go and teach Torah. That was Rebbe Yashiv. Number three, you have to help others do tshuva as well. The whole point of the Rochel is not only for you, but for others as well, to teach, not only to teach Torah, but to make them do tshuva. That was number three, that's from Rav Shor. And number four, the power of our speech can affect the entire world. Infect the entire world. Let's keep that in our heads and try to be careful with it. And that is that. Have a good Shabbos.